Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Should always be accompanied by prayer, of course. Jesus said, this cometh not but by prayer and fasting. And so it's more than just abstaining from food. We live a life of prayer and, of course, obedience. Don't think that you can pray and fast and then live in sin at the same time. All right, if you're doing that, quit. Quit one or the other, but it's not doing you any good to pray and fast and live in sin. So you need to stop one of them because it's not working. And I pray it's the sinning that you stop. But you're living a life of obedience when you're fasting and you're praying. And so the practice of fasting has always been something that churches do when they're seeking God's direction, not God's favor, His direction. And a great example of this is found over in the book of Acts. When the church of Antioch was trying to spread the gospel, they knew that it was God's desire, the Lord Jesus Christ's desire, that they spread the gospel throughout all the world. And so what did they do? Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. This is what they did. And this is Antioch. Remember, that's where people were first called Christians at, was Antioch. And why? Because they were little Christ, and they had the mind of Christ. And this is what it says in Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so this right here, listen, there's a lot of churches mentioned in the Bible. If you want to model yourself after a church, do it after Antioch. They knew what they were doing. They had it going on. And they knew what the Lord wanted. And the Bible says they fasted and they prayed and then they laid their hands on them, sent them their way. So God, they were seeking God's direction. What happened? God gave them direction. And we fast during desperate situations. Now, like I said, we're not asking God for favors, but when desperate situations come up, we find instances of fasting. In the scriptures, when God's people are in dire straits, dire situations, look at it if you want to. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. Way up back there in your Old Testament. This is King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 20, 3 and 4. It says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." All right, stop for a second. This is a Judah-wide fasting here. It's a corporate fasting is what we would call it, a corporate fasting. And not individual, although it's individuals doing it, it's the whole land of Judah. "He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." So they're seeking the Lord by this fasting. If you know what the story's about here, they're surrounded by their enemies. There was no way out. They were on all sides. The enemies were all around them. Jehoshaphat knew it. He knew that they were doomed. There wasn't anything that they were able to do on their own. It's over for them. And so what does he do? He proclaims this fast throughout all of Judah to ask help of the Lord. "Lord, we can't do it. The only way that this can happen, if we can be protected, is if you do it." And so there in 2 Chronicles 20, 14 through 15, it says, "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Do you see that? God answered their prayers. They come seeking His face, seeking His help. They fasted. They got right with God and seeking after Him. And God says, listen, this battle's not yours. It's not yours. It's mine. It's mine to fight. So, you know, don't be disturbed here. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, because I've got this. And listen, we may not be surrounded by the Moabites or the Ammonites like they were, but we're surrounded by a lot of other things. Right now, in this room, you can't see it. It's invisible. Just like radio waves are going up and down through here, you can't see them. But there's spiritual darkness. There's demons. There's demonic activity and things going all through here. Principalities and powers, the Bible talks about. And Paul mentions rulers of darkness in the world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We deal with these kinds of things all the time. And so we are surrounded by enemies. If you saw today that man made the cake for the homosexual and the Supreme Court cleared him. Well, now there's another charge against him. He wouldn't make a cake for some lawyer that wanted a transvestite cake of all things made. And now he's being sued again and taken to court. And so, they have this man in their sights. They've got their bullseye on him. Their crosshairs are on him. And they're going to do their best to get this guy. And so you pray for him. And so we're surrounded by that kind of thing in this world. They hate Christians. Everybody, this world hates us. And don't be surprised. They hated Jesus too. And he told us, you know, if they hated me, they'll hate you. And so let's not be surprised that the world hates us. Christians, they think the world ought to love us and everything we do. Well, why are they getting upset at us? All we're trying to do is preach about Jesus. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. They hate us. And so don't be surprised about that. And so we're surrounded by all this. That's why I call for 9 Mondays of prayer and fasting for this revival. I feel that we are in a desperate situation here. We fast because we are longing to be with Jesus. We long to be with Him. There was a time when the disciples of John the Baptist, they came to Jesus and they were asking Him a question. It was a good question. They were curious. And it says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, then came to Him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but the disciples fast not? And Jesus said to them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. You see, the disciples of John and the Pharisees both fasted twice a week, just like the one there in the temple that was praying. He fasted twice a week. Well, so did the disciples of John and the Pharisees. And so they come and ask Him, look, the disciples of John fast and the Pharisees fast, but you guys aren't fasting. How come? What's up? And so Jesus explains to them here, well, there's no need for them to fast. They're right here in the presence of the bridegroom. Yeah? You're not going to fast in the presence of the bridegroom. That's a time of rejoicing and celebrating and everything's fine. But He says, I'll tell you this, though, there's going to be a day when I leave here. Then they'll be fasting. And so because He was there with them, there was no need for the fast. Jesus didn't fast either. And so He was using this comparison here of the bridegroom and associating it with, of course, she would be the bride would be in mourning if the bridegroom was gone. But the bridegroom is there. And so there's rejoicing. Now, we fast because the Lord also, He's gone away and we're expecting Him to come back. And so He's not here with us. But one of these days we'll be reunited with Him. All right, and I'm almost finished, and everybody always wants to know, well, okay, so it's indicated in the Bible that Christians would fast. I mean, it's plain as it can be. The Christians should be fasting. So everybody says, well, what do we do? How do we do it? How do we fast? I'm going to give you 10 things real quick. The most important thing, and I want to remind you, is this. Only fast if you have a desire to fast. Simple as that. If you are trying to fight against it and you think it's stupid or something like that, don't do it. You only want to fast if you have a desire to fast. Your desire, your passion for the Lord Jesus, you want to see change, you want to see Him do things and work mighty things in your life and get close to Him, then fast. But if you don't want those things, don't do it. Don't do it. I made an appeal for all the church to fast on Mondays. But you're not obligated to it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. You aren't doing it to please me or to impress anyone. I don't know if you fasted or not. I'm not going to ask you. I don't care. I fasted, but it's because I'm seeking revival. So if you fast, do it because you want to. Secondly, if you decide to fast, accept it and don't complain about it. Don't be the example of the Pharisees that were, you know, painting their face and trying to look hungry and everything else. Don't be like one of them. If you fast, accept it. You're not complaining about it. And if you get hungry or cranky, just start praying. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, help me with this. When your stomach growls, instead of grumbling and getting mad, say, thank you, Lord. Thirdly, don't endanger your health. If you take medicines that you require food, eat so that you can take your medicine. Don't get sick off of fasting. It's not, you don't need to do that. Don't fast to the point that you're not able to function. People pass out and everything else. Make sure you drink plenty of liquid. Water is the liquid that you should drink in a real fast. It's water. However, you can drink other things. You can drink juices or teas or coffee. I drank black coffee and water Monday is what I drank. Fifth, chew some chewing gum. All right. Nobody wants to smell your breath. And when you're not eating, you've got bad breath. Chew some gum so that you're not knocking everybody out. And I know that sounds silly to some people, but it's just the truth. Just chew some gum. It'll help with your breath. And nobody will even ask you, are you fasting? And so six, don't let other people judge your fasting. It's not about them. It's about you and God. So nobody can come up to you and say, well, you're doing it wrong, or you shouldn't be doing that or doing this. Tell them to go away, that this is between you and God. It's not got anything to do with them. And they can go over their happy place. Seventh, don't go around bragging about your fasting. Just like the Pharisee there in the temple. Don't go around, well, I'm fasting, you know, because we're having revival. Yeah, I'm fasting. Brother Byron, you want to go out and eat? No, I can't. I'm fasting today. I'm fasting. Yeah. Don't do that. Just keep it to yourself. Nobody should even know about it except your own family and your church here. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. Eighth thing, don't forget to pray. Fasting and prayer goes together. Jesus said this cometh not about except by prayer and fasting. So pray while you're fasting. And ninth, be looking for spiritual change in your life. You'll see it. You'll see change in your life when you start doing without the food and you start praying and getting close to God. You'll notice a spiritual difference in your life because you're getting closer to God. Fasting will draw you closer to Him. And it'll also show you things that's wrong with you. It'll make you look at take a hard look at your own self. And last, number 10, when your fast is over, make sure that you thank the Lord for it. You don't say, oh, goodness, at 12 midnight, boy, I'm eating a hamburger. You know, this is not what it's about, okay? When the fast is over, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with me and keeping me my strength. And God, I want to praise you. And I look forward to next Monday. Look forward to next Monday when we do this again. And so those are just some tips that I'm giving you, 10 things. Those are not in the Bible, okay? Those are not in the Bible. However, we see in the Bible that we are expected to fast and to pray. And so I think that it's a good thing for Christians to do. And it's not being done today, really, hardly.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
Shout!